Thank you for joining our podcast. This next message you'll be hearing is from our women's ministry, She Conquers. This ministry was birthed as a single mom's ministry and now into a ministry that includes women of all walks of life.
The concept was that as a single mom in Christ, you would be able to conquer anything that was handed to you. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. And it was so impactful, such a strong direction in terms of where our women's ministry needed to go, that we kept the name. We kept the name She Conquers because we were trying to, because our women's nights before, we call them friendship nights. And I know that's a little cheesy. So we're like, we need a name, but She Conquers is for the single moms. But I think God just gave us that realization that no, that this concept of She Conquers was birthed from single moms, but now it leaps to every woman that comes into our ministry. So it's a really, really cool thing. So we gather here, and we just expect God to show up, and He always does. He does exactly that. He shows up. He ministers. He moves. He heals. And I'm just excited for those who are new tonight. Excited to see what God is going to do in your life. But I have the privilege of introducing the speaker of the night, and I can go on and on about this woman. This is a woman that I truly admire. I actually admire her beauty. She's such a beautiful girl. Like, she's just beautiful. She has that natural beauty going on. I really, really admire that. But more than that, so Favi is the speaker, so I want to say that off the bat. She is, if I can describe her, she is a well of wisdom. You can come to her at any given time, at any given moment, and she can, if you share your heart with her, she will give you just such good wisdom. Or even in, you know, when we have meetings in our leadership, you know, it's kind of rare that she will speak up and say something, but when she does, it actually gives direction to our team. It's just something, she's just an amazing person like that. But another thing I wanted to share is that I think, I don't know if it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, she ministered. I can't remember the whole message, but there was this one part where she talked about respecting your husband. And I don't know how to describe it, but it was just the way that she said it with conviction, that it came from a place that she had experienced, that it actually moved me. And that night, I had to settle some things with my husband, and my marriage was changed because of that. And I don't think I ever shared that with her, but I truly believe that her message, just like it's moved me before, her message is going to move you tonight, and you're going to reap from it. So without further ado, if you can please help me welcome Ms. Favi.
Ay, ay, ay. Hello, ladies. How's everyone? Hey. Let me put my water bottles down. Give me a minute. Yeah, that one's good too. So welcome to She Conquers. Thank you for allowing me just to share my heart and also what the Lord has done in me with you. You know, and it does come from a place of realness. I wouldn't share something that I'm not or something that I don't know about. So that's just who I am. I don't have a reason to speak gibberish. And it's funny because in a friendship, I'll always say that, like, oh, why don't you talk a lot? Oh, because I don't speak gibberish. But that's just me. I remember we had the marriage class. We had a test. I was 99.9% introvert, and nobody was surprised. So that's just me. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of myself so that you know who I was and who I am now and who I am as just an individual here living out the word of the Lord. But I would like to pray with you before, if you can join me and bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, God. We thank you, God, for the calling, God, that you have upon us as women, Lord. We thank you for that calling, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your will, for your perfect will, God. Father, we lay down every wall, God, every thing that would inhibit us, God, to say yes to you today, Lord. We lay it down, God. And Lord, we thank you for what you will do. And if you can join me, ladies, and just say yes, God. If you can say yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, we say yes to you, Lord. We want you. We invite you, not only in this place, but in our hearts. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was born in the church. I was born as a believer. I want to believe that I took maybe a first step there, or even said a first word at church. My parents were first generation here Americans and first generation Christians, so that was fun. And as a child, I experienced the love of God at a very young age. I remember sleeping and love awakening me, like the Spirit of God and just the love as a young child awakening me in the middle of the night, and just it almost seemed like it wrapped itself around me. And I'm obviously thankful that I got to experience God, but that just shows you how when you bring in God into your family, even in your children, I don't even know if I was like five yet when that happened. So I want to encourage parents to cultivate that in your kids. Cultivate Jesus in your kids. It's real. I experienced it, obviously, firsthand. And I remember that my parents, man, they did their best, you know. And to me, they were the best. They are the best because they did their best. They're not perfect, but they did their best. And now as a woman, I can appreciate that. But I remember that they took us camping, man. They took us to Mexico. They gave us, I had the you know, that full-size doll that you get, like, for Christmas when you're little, and she's, like, your same exact size. Like, we had the toys, and they gave us a lot, you know? But nothing compared to this day, to waking up in the middle of the night. Y'all made me cry already. Waking up in the middle of the night and seeing my mom on her knees going into spiritual warfare for her kids, that taught me something as a young girl. You know, nothing will ever compare. No gift, no quinceañera, no car payment that they made for me. Nothing will compare to seeing that. Nothing will compare years later when my dad came to Christ, seeing him at like 5 a.m, reading his word, trying to be a better man. Nothing will compare to that. So I want to encourage you to cultivate Jesus in your children, because I'm speaking from experience that it will change your children. Even if they go a distance, they will return. Even if they say, you know, I don't need Jesus, or why do you even pray? They'll return because you've sown and you're fighting for them. So I grew up in church, and somewhere along the lines, as I was growing up, certain boundaries were crossed as a kid. Just want to make sure there's no kids in here. As a child, that shouldn't have been crossed. And if you want to talk about it, you know, we can talk about it after. Take me out for coffee or something. And I was a church girl gone bad. So I grew up in church. I knew God. And just certain actions messed me up. You know, certain boundaries that were crossed messed me up. And I remember that I just strayed from God. I strayed from God. But the crazy part is that I was in sin. I was doing the wrong things. I was with the wrong people. I was in the wrong relationship. And I remember, I don't know if it was like maybe 4 or 5 times, I audibly heard, I don't know, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit speak in situations, and I can give an example. I remember being in a car with a guy that I was dating, and sitting there and just in quiet. And I remember the Holy Spirit telling me, Fabi, no. And I wasn't living, I wasn't going to church. I wasn't doing anything, even seeking God. And I remember the Holy Spirit telling me, Fabi, no. Fabi, no. Fabi, no. And the first time I was like, I'm tripping, man. That's crazy. But I heard it in my ear and it pierced my heart. And then later I was with a group of friends. And mind you, each time he said no, I got in big trouble. So then I was with a group of friends and I remember hearing that say, Fabi, no. Fabi, no. Fabi, no. And then a third time I heard it again and I realized it, even thinking about it now, like the call of Samuel when God was calling him at such a young age. And I was probably, I don't know, teens, early teens, 16, 17, I don't remember. And the last one was when I was with the guy that I was in the relationship with, and I heard it again. And I remember that time I knew it was God, and I said, no, no, God, no, you, no to you, no. And I knew that it was that the Lord had a will, and I knew that the Lord had a calling, but I said no. And after that, you know, it was as if God, which he does, respects our decisions. But what intrigued me was that he pursued me, man. He pursued me. And it wasn't until the same things that I said no to him about broke me, damaged me, man, left me like shattered, that I came back to him on a Friday night. I remember it was Easter, Good Friday, the day before, the Friday before Easter. And I don't think it was at our childhood church, and I don't think service had even started. And I was just like, you know, we've all been there when you go to church and you're just like, you got to the seat, man, you already know you're broken. You already been touched just being there. So I remember that was me, and I remember even before service started, I prayed and I said, God, I know I was once your child, and I, for whatever reason, I still think I am. And if you would save me from where I'm at, I would follow you. If you are willing to save me from where I am at, I will follow you the rest of my life. I don't think I said the rest of my life, but that was what I meant. And it was crazy because I had to ask him to save me. I was in a place where I couldn't get myself out of it anymore. I wasn't in a place where I can leave anymore. I needed him to physically come down and save me from where I was at. And the craziest thing happened, man. Oh my goodness, yo. So the next day, tell me why the guy that I was dating called, this between us, don't go posting this on Instagram, calls me up and he's like, we're done. And I said, what? The next day, hours later, he's like, we're done. He said, you know what? I can't take this anymore, but I've been cheating on you. And I knew it was God, because this man would have never admitted anything like that. And then, you know, a couple days later, the friends that I was, you know, hanging around with, they were like, nah, like we're not cool anymore. It was such a God moment, but it was that prayer of God, save me. And he did. And when my world seemed like it was falling apart, God was putting everything in place. And that's why when we come to God and we're like freaking out and shaking, God, why is everything falling apart? No, it's everything is getting into place now. And there was a prayer. There is a prayer in Luke 5:12. It was a man who was covered in leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell and begged. He was desperate. Lord, if you are willing to make me clean, make me clean. So a couple weeks ago, I went back and I kind of relived that moment of when I was at church and I was getting right with God. And I read this and I thought, Lord, that was my prayer. That was my prayer. Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. And God responded to this man, I'm willing. And we as women and just individuals need to know that God is willing. And when I prayed that, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, Fabi, not only was I willing, I was waiting. I was waiting for that moment. And you know how I know that's true? Because I just do. But because the next day, tell me why, I get all these calls, everybody's dropping me. He was waiting for that moment. So not only is he waiting, he's willing. And it started with a calling for me, as it starts for you, as it starts for everyone, you know? It started with a calling, but it continued with my response. You know, and I think sometimes we can get so frustrated, like, oh, I'm walking this Christian walk, and everybody's blessed, and everybody's getting breakthrough, and here I am. Yeah, because we start with a calling. You know there's a calling, but what's our response? You know? And that's where my message comes in, the woman in the mirror. And so it's not our response, my response is not me and my husband, is not me and my friends that backstab me, it's not me and my circumstance, it's not me and my past, it's not me and, you know, anyone else. It's me, the woman in the mirror. My response is my response. It's not me and so, it's my response. It's my calling and it's my response. So I have, if we can put up James 1:22, I wanted to quickly look at this. Thank you. James 1:22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his or her face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James compares the word of God to a mirror, and a mirror is, I would say, one of girl's best friends, a girl's best friend, because it's a reflection of who you are. And a mirror will do what your friend won't do. You know, she'll tell, the mirror will tell you when you got black beans in your teeth. And, you know, you just finished talking to your friend and you're like, really, you can tell me? But you go to the mirror and it's a perfect reflection, a perfect, not that you're perfect, but it's the most perfect reflection of what you appear to be. You know, so it does two things. It helps us, I would say, get ready. A mirror helps us get ready, and it tells us what looks good on us. That, I mean, I think I go to a mirror more than I go to my husband to know, like, okay, this looks cute, and then I'll be like, hey, how does this look? You know, but I'll first go to the mirror. It helps us get ready, and it tells us when something's off. If my hair is messed up, the mirror will tell me. If I got something in my teeth, if, you know, like when you get an eyeliner, man, that's the worst. And one line's over here and one's like over here. You use the mirror for that. So that's what James tells us. It compares a mirror to the word of God, because the word of God and the presence of God does that same thing to our spirit. It's a perfect reflection of who we are, you know what I mean? Not that we're perfect, but it'll indicate to us that, yes, you're loved, that, yes, God has a will for you, and that, hey, yes, maybe, you know, maybe you're not loving your neighbor. Maybe you do have bitterness. So the Bible, as he was speaking about the mirror, reflects who I am inside. That's what he was speaking about. And when we look at the mirror, when we look into a mirror, it's because we want to make sure that it matches what we want to see. And the Bible does the same thing. We can compare a Bible to the way that we're living and, you know, say, does it add up? Does my life as a Christian, does my life as somebody that's fighting the good fight, compare with the Word of God? And if it doesn't, you know, we can work with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, you know, and align our heart and align our mind there. And I had a, for whatever reason, I feel like the world, and I think even at one point, and talking to different people, had a mentality that the Bible and even God condemns us. And it doesn't. I had that talking to different people. I got that understanding from them. Like, wait, don't you feel condemned, though, reading the Bible? And I think it stems down from what the world brought the Ten Commandments as. Like, don't steal, don't fornicate, don't lie. But it's like, I wouldn't want my husband to do that to me. You know, like, I wouldn't want him to lie to me. I wouldn't. So it's not a bad law. It's a healthy law. But I think that a lot of times we take don't as, I don't know, maybe bad. I'm not sure. But the Bible doesn't condemn us. It equips us. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He fights for you. And the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. He guides you. God doesn't condemn you. He loves you. So when we're looking in the mirror, and sometimes I know that it's easier to point out the flaws that we see, know that God, the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are not condemning you. They give you this word. They give you this church. They give you this fellowship. They give you these pastors to encourage you, you know? And it's the devil that condemns us. You know, I want to say, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I think I shared a word with the worship team, and I know I talked to Liz about a fight that I was fighting, and I felt so condemned. I felt so condemned, and I remember being up here like, oh my God, how could I be playing? And I wasn't sinning, but I was fighting the fight, and I remember the devil telling me, really? And you call yourself a Christian? Really? And you're dealing with that? Really? And you're a woman of God? Really? And you think you can minister? And I remember praying like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I feel this. And I remember the Holy Spirit telling me, don't let the devil condemn you for something that you're fighting for. So don't let the devil condemn you for something that you're fighting against. You're fighting the good fight. I'm fighting the good fight. And as I said, the Bible, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, don't condemn us. And it's like, and after that, I woke up and I was like, oh, that's real funny, devil, because you know nothing about a good fight. You don't know anything about fighting the good fight. I think it's like Isaiah 14 tells us where the devil was kicked out of heaven because of pride. I'm like, here you are trying to tell me something where you never even dealt with your own sin. Like, you must have lost your mind, you know? So don't let the devil condemn you for something that you're fighting for. And I briefly want to, oh, I got time. And I briefly want to look at somebody who couldn't face the person in the mirror. And we can all go there. That would be 1 Samuel 15, 1, we're going to read a bit, 122. And I'll give you guys a second to get there. And just reflecting, know that you're not, you know, nobody's, we're not, you're not condemned, but God is with you. And that his word encourages us. Jesus guides us. The Holy Spirit guides you. God loves you. And I'm going to read if everyone's there. I'll start at chapter 2. We're going to read for a bit. I tend to like mispronounce words, so just FYI. So 1 Samuel 15:2. And it says, let me put this higher. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came into Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Do not put them to death, the women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them to Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set the ambush in the Raven. Then he said to the Canaanites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. So for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. So the Canaanites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites, and he went all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all of the people, and he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep, cattle, calves, lamb, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Saul. I am grieved that I made King Saul, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction. Saul was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early that morning, Saul got up and went to meet Saul. But when he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached Saul, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction. But Samuel said, then what is the beating of sheep in my ear? What is this lowing of cattle I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep, the cattle and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Stop, Samuel said. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. He sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy the wicked people and the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission of the Lord he assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag and the king. The soldiers took the sheep from the plunder and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. We'll stop there. So in the beginning of the scripture, we read that God said, I will. So it wasn't something that Samuel at the end, he said, I completely destroyed the Amalekites. No, God said, I will. God did that. God brought them that victory. That was God's will. And then there was, the calling, which we saw how he responded. So I think that for them, for Saul specifically, the victory was coming. It did come. God did announce it. It's coming. The victory is coming. The will of God is coming. The promise is coming. But Saul never grasped it. He said, I completely destroyed. No, God did that. God's victory came, and yet this man was defeated. And I know that because he couldn't face the man in the mirror. And his disobedience didn't come from a lack of fighting of a circumstance. His disobedience came from within. It says that, yeah, he went to war, but he never faced the man in the mirror. His disobedience came from the lack of needed to be accepted. His disobedience came from greed, and his disobedience came from pride. That was his disobedience. He was in it to win it, yet he couldn't face himself. And I know this because if we read how we read earlier, it says Saul and the army did this. It says he built an altar. It says he saved the best for them. And if you're telling me that this man that was anointed king wasn't living in the blessing of God, he was. He could have easily said, no, let's carry this out. When we get home, I got you. I'm king. I'm blessed. He was king. He had plenty, but he never knew what he had. And that's crazy to me, and that's scary to me personally. I'm not trying to scare nobody, but me, that's scary because I can live in the will. I can be in the promise of God. I can be where he wants me to be and yet miss him because I'm not willing to face issues in my heart that I know aren't right. And God has dealt with me about this, so I know it's true. He never responded to the calling that God had for him. It says that he was meant to be king. He was meant to be anointed. But here he is building an altar for himself, saying, hey, it's all good. You know, it's a good deed. He was so out of tune with God, he thought he was doing the right thing. And it's crazy because then he started blaming everybody. That's why I said it's me, the woman in the mirror. And God, when I meet my maker, it's going to be me and my maker. And I'm ready. You know, it's not going to be me and, oh, but God, I did this because this and this person did this. I did this because I was betrayed. I did this because I was abused. I never let this go because, man, that person never said sorry to me. How am I supposed to move on? No, it's going to be me and my maker. It's going to be me and the woman in the mirror. And he starts blaming everybody. He said, no, but it was the people. The people did this. I was afraid of the people. Well, then you should have dealt with your fear. I don't know. And God wants us as women to deal with the women in the mirror. And if we go back to James, to James 1:22. And then I think it's the last verse to maybe 23. Oh, is that all it? Is there another one? Okay. He wants you to deal with the woman in the mirror. Why? Because yes, there's his will. Yes, there's a calling, but it depends on our response. And you can have Christine Kane up here. You can have Furtick. What's his last name? Yes, him up here. You can have Pastor up here. You can have Jesus up here, and he's here. But we can say, as I said, no. And we're here sometimes, and I'm talking about myself, and talking about nobody else. But we're here sometimes, and we think that because I'm here and because I'm faithful to a bench or to a seat, God, then why haven't you moved? But yes, you know, we know we've accepted the will, we accepted the call, but we haven't fully accepted the response. We haven't kept ourselves responsible for the response. And I know this is true because if we see even Judas, he was in the presence of Jesus, man. Like, how are you going to betray Jesus? You're in his presence. You witnessed all this stuff. And he still said no. So we can be where we're supposed to be and where God wants us to be. And we can get so frustrated and start blaming everybody else because of this person and because of that person and because of God, because he blesses this person and not me. And I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about me. And we can miss it because we weren't willing to deal with that. Or we never even took the time. This verse says, look intently. It means look. And then after you're done looking, look some more. And then after you're done looking some more, start walking in it. Whatever God, and it doesn't tell you what to look at. It doesn't say, you know, look at this, look at that. No, because God has an individual relationship with us. So it says, look in the word of God. Look intently. He will show you and do it. And why does he want us to do that? Why does he want us to look at the women in the mirror? This verse says it. Because a perfect law brings freedom. That's why. That's the only reason why. The perfect law brings freedom. And he says, when you begin to walk in that, you're going to be blessed. They will be blessed in whatever they do. Whatever they do. And then that's how you see Christians, man, that are reaping, that bear all kind of fruit, and then they're happy and they're full of joy, and then the battle comes and they stand up and they fight. And here you are, look, here I am looking at them like, oh, like, oh, what's up with them? What do you mean, what's up with them? What's up with me? Why couldn't I look at the women in the mirror? You know what I mean? So that's why God wants us to look at the women in the mirror. So that he can bring about freedom and so that he can bring about blessing. And it was funny. A few months ago, I was going through this, having to look at just certain areas of my heart. And I felt the Lord tell me, Fabi, I want you to do this. And it's been ongoing since then. Fabi, I want you to do this. Fabi, I want you. And then, you know, after a while, I finally say yes. And then again, Fabi, I want you to do this. But every time I'm like, oh, no, you know? And that specific time was the first time that I really felt like Viola shared this not too long ago with, just shared this out loud, but that God was calling me to a new level of intimacy and a new level of holiness. And that just means being set apart, you know? And I remember looking, feeling like he was challenging me to really search my own heart and stop looking at everything, stop looking at circumstances, stop looking at who was around me or who wasn't. And I remember him telling me, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And I was like, nah, that's crazy. That's crazy. No, like, that's not me. That's not what, that's just, you know, just like a thought. And then I finally realized that it was him calling me to face something, you know, to move and to face something within myself, and I remember, like, saying, no, God, I can't, I just can't. And then I remember I was at home cleaning, sweeping the kitchen, to be exact, and then I was sweeping, and I wasn't even thinking about anything. I don't remember what I was thinking about, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, what are you so afraid of? Like, why don't you, what is it? And then, like, why wasn't I willing to move? And it was just a question. I tend to ask the Holy Spirit a lot of questions, so it's, you know, it's kind of normal. And then it caught me off my tracks. I was like sleeping, and I was like, wait, what? And then I heard it, like, what are you so afraid of? And I started thinking about it, like, why am I unwilling to do this? Why am I unwilling to move? Why do I just want to stay here and just, no, don't, you know, don't do it. I don't want to. And the more I thought about it, it was that I was just not willing to face fear. And I realized that it wasn't even a circumstance that I wasn't willing to face. It came down to something much deeper, you know? And we read the story of Saul, and it wasn't that he wasn't willing to go. He went. And it says he gathered everybody, and he went, and he fought the army. But his sin, because it was my sin, it was what I was letting get between me and God, it came from something much deeper than a physical object or a physical aspect or a physical circumstance. It came from fear within my heart, a fear of feeling ashamed, fear of feeling judged. That's where it came from. So God is calling us to deal with that's within us. And sometimes it's so hard to see because our eyes are just set on the physical aspect of it or the people aspect of it. But the Lord says that the reason he wants to, it's because he wants to bring freedom and blessing. And what kind of God does that, you know? That just shows his goodness. It shows his character. It shows his goodness that he's willing to work with us, because I don't know if I would be able to, but I'm just a human, you know? But it shows his character. It shows his goodness. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring blessing. He's willing. And not only is he willing, he's been waiting. And that's it. That's it. So I just want to take some time in prayer and invite you to pray. If you want to come to the altar, I'm sure there'll be, you know, women happy to pray for you. Fight the good fight. Take up the shield of faith, the sword of spirit with you. But I hope that it can come from, you know, from within our heart. And let us pray. Oh, I think we need the worship team up here. And if you haven't invited Jesus into your heart, I would encourage you to do so. You heard my story. I didn't make it up. I got no need to make it up. And there's so much more. God brought deliverance upon my life. And you can ask anyone here how God has brought deliverance upon their life. We were created to be with him. We were created to have fellowship with him. This life is temporary. You know, I know that. I know that. And my prayer is that even as they were worshiping, man, I just knew that God had been willing and waiting for you, for me, for you, for that individual response. So if you need breakthrough, be the man with the leprosy. Say, God, there's been leprosy in my heart, man. And it's so out of control, I can't even deal with it. Be with that man that we spoke about earlier. Come desperately, not to me, not to anyone here, to God. I don't know it. Don't nobody here know it? You know, it's God that's been willing. It's God that's been waiting for me, for you. There's so much more, as Christy always says. And I believe it. I've been saved now for what? Since I was 18, 11 years. And I used to read the verse where the angels said, holy, 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 night and day. They cry out, holy. And for a while, I was tripped out because I'm like, how did I get tired of saying holy, 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 night and day? And I kept, you know, just thinking about it. And then I realized that God is so great. I realized that in my own walk. He's so great. that he'll take you out of one thing and glorify his presence in your life in another. That you can't help say, praise God, consistently praise God for what he's done because he's so great. And that's what I've understood, why the angels never got tired of saying, holy, holy, because there's so much to him. But it takes an individual walk to know that. And I know we have it. I know most of us here have it. If you don't, I invite you to participate in that walk with Jesus. So this altar is going to be open. If you want to come up and pray, pray to God. And, you know, there'll be people here willing to pray for you. But I want to pray, you know, just to encourage you, because I know that the trials, I know that the furnace will come, but not everybody gets through it. It's those of us that hold on to Jesus and say, Lord, what doesn't kill me, don't make me stronger. It makes me weaker, it makes me scarier, it makes me insecure, but if you walk through this, I'll be better, I'll be stronger, I'll be wiser, I'll be healed. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you, God, that you're so real, God, that you're so present in our lives, God, that you're not embarrassed to be with us, you're not embarrassed to move for us, God, but that you take pride in us, God, that you take such pride in your sons and daughters of God, God, that you fight for us, God, that you cheer us on, God, that you've equipped us, God, that you've given us your word, you've given us fellowship, you've given us the Bible, you've given us, you know, your Son, the Holy Spirit, you've equipped us, God. And I pray, Lord, that as hard as it may get, that we would say yes. Yes to the calling, whatever season it might be. Yes to the calling and yes to my response to you. Yes, that I can look at the woman in the mirror and deal with whatever I got to deal with to get to you, to get right with you, God. Lord, we invite you here. I know that you're here already, but I just pray that you would begin to minister to these women, Lord, to myself, God, begin to minister in only a way that you can. God, only you are needed. You are the only one that's needed. We are participants. Only you are needed. I thank you, God, for your goodness and for your love, God. I thank you, God, for your will and for your calling. In Jesus' name.